All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Pastor Brian said he heard another comment about the horrible spring we've had, cold spring we've had. And it goes like this, says, I'm so looking forward to summer, I sure hope it falls on a weekend. That's cute, isn't it? That's good. Oh, man, it doesn't take a whole lot to entertain us, does it? Not this stage of the game, anyway. All right, Daniel chapter 12. The question was, what in the world is Daniel saying in chapter 12? So let's see if we can figure it out, all right? Daniel chapter 12. Now, before I read, let me take you back here, okay? Let's go in your mind, all right, in your mind, 586 B.C., all right? 586 B.C., you got that figured in your head? 586 B.C., so 2,600 years ago, okay? Long time ago. Got it in your mind? Yes. All right, so 2,600 years ago, here's what was happening. Daniel was in the mix of the young people that were held captive by Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem and destroyed the city. All right, 586 B.C., long, long time ago. All right, now, when Daniel got in Babylon, that's when he had this vision and gave us the book of Daniel. All right, now, you remember in the vision, Daniel saw the Medes and the Persians coming and defeating the Babylonians. Remember that? So you had the Medes and the Persians coming, and they defeated the Nebuchadnezzar, or Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son and grandson, and all that heir. They were defeated, and then the Medes and Persians took over. All right. Also, in the book and in those visions that Daniel had, he then saw the Greek Empire come and conquer the Medes and the Persians. All right. So Daniel witnessed that in the vision. It's all in the book of Daniel. And then he saw the Romans come and defeat the Greeks and take over. Then he saw the Lord Jesus coming. Daniel saw the Lord coming. And then Daniel looked ahead past today. Past, right now it is 7:30 and 15 seconds. So Daniel looked past 7:30 and 22 seconds to the rapture of the church and the tribulation period on this earth, and the rise of the Antichrist and the persecution against the Jews. Daniel saw all of it in 586 or a little bit after BC. All right, nod your heads. You with me on that? So that's what Daniel has been seeing in this book. That's what Daniel has been given. He has been given a perspective, a view from his day all the way beyond our day into the tribulation period with the Antichrist and the persecution of the Jews, and then the Lord Jesus coming in the clouds to defeat the Antichrist and his armies, and the Lord Jesus sitting upon the throne of the world. Daniel saw all of it in this book. Nod your head. You with me on that? That's what he saw. Okay? Now, what happens in the 11th chapter is, and you'll notice it's 45 verses, and all these verses are big verses. So I don't have time tonight to, you just got to take my word for it. What Daniel sees in the 11th chapter is the defeat of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is defeated, drastically defeated. I don't mean he's just, you know, got a black eye. I mean, he is put down by the returning Savior, by the Lord. Okay? So we get now to the 12th chapter. You see, chapter 12. Let me just say it this way. Chapter 12 is like an appendix to the book. It's like paying special heed to the coming great tribulation period and what's going to happen. I mean, it's like Daniel saying, okay, now let me just emphasize one more thing before I close the book. And that's what he's doing here in this 12th chapter. All right, now look at verse 1. He says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. All right, now who is this Michael? What is this Michael? That's the archangel, exactly right. And so Michael is God's ambassador and protector of the nation of Israel. That's what he's saying there. Okay, so at that time, in other words, during the tribulation period, when the Antichrist would have destroyed Israel, which is what his goal is, the Antichrist would have destroyed Israel, at that time, Michael will stand up. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Right there's the key. God's people will be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All right, now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but right there's the resurrection. All right, right there's the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. Okay? So, and we'll get to that in a minute. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. What book? The book of Daniel. Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up in which he held up his right hand when he held up his right hand, and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And Daniel said, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray now you'll help us, and I pray that we'll be able to get everything in tonight. I just ask you to go before us and give us understanding of your precious word. Help us to put everything in its place and to have clarity of thought as we think of what Daniel has written here. So bless us now, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. This 12th chapter of Daniel, I mean, you can just imagine what Daniel must have been thinking when he was writing this book. All the things that he saw, just imagine how overwhelmed he must have been at the scope of the revelations that he had received from God. You see, God revealed to him the rise of great and brutal kings and kingdoms. He was dealing with the Babylonians, God showed him the Babylonians, and then the Medes and the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans, and then the coming of the Antichrist. I mean, it was just amazing. The destruction and the war and the bloodshed and the sorrow and the terror and the treachery, all the things that Daniel saw in these visions and in these revelations that he received from God. And it seemed, it had to seem, at least in Daniel's mind, that this was just going to go on forever. In Daniel's mind, he thought from the way it was worded and the way that it just kept unfolding, Daniel certainly felt in his heart that all of this mayhem and all of this war and all of this fighting and all of this destruction and hatred and bitterness was just and bloodshed was just going to continue to go on forever and ever. And the sad thing to Daniel was that in all of these centuries of carnage and in all of these centuries of mayhem, his beloved people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, was right in the middle of everything that he was given as a prophecy. Do you see that? I mean, Daniel, being a Jew himself, had to have been sitting there and thinking to himself, wow, how are my people ever going to be delivered from all this destruction? I mean, he saw the Medes and the Persians conquer Israel, and he saw the Greeks conquer Israel, and he saw the Romans conquer Israel, and he saw the Lord Jesus coming and be rejected by Israel, and then judged by God, and then the tribulation and the Antichrist, and he saw all this, and right there in the middle of it are the Jews. And he had to wonder, is it ever going to stop? Was there any hope? Would anybody help? And the answer was, in chapter 12, yes, there is hope, and yes, there would be help. You see, across the bow of this prophesied history, God's people could write the words of David in Psalm 31 and verse 15, where David said, "Our times are in His hands." Our times are in His hands. You see, God has always had His hand on the nation of Israel. They are God's people. Now, Daniel 11 ends with the downfall of the Antichrist. But before the book concludes and God closes the book of his prophecy, Daniel has to tell us one more important thing. So in this chapter, we have Daniel telling us of the bitter hatred of the Antichrist toward Israel, toward God's people, and how God will deliver and how God will protect them. So let's look at what Daniel says. Look first at the angel or the archangel Michael and his relationship to Israel. Now let me read it to you again. It says in verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people." Now folks, listen very carefully. When God created Adam and Eve, He said to Adam, said to the Godhead, "Let them," speaking of Adam and Eve as a pair, as a husband and wife, as man, "let them have dominion over the earth." That's Genesis 1:26. When God created Adam, Adam was given dominion over the earth. Now, we lost that dominion when Adam sinned. We lost that dominion. Adam was given dominion over the earth. But when he sinned against God, he lost his dominion and surrendered that right and that sovereignty to the devil, to Satan. Satan today is called by God in the Bible, specifically in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is called by God the God, small g, the God of this world. Okay? Satan is the God of this world. You hear people say, well, this is Christian America. No, it's not. This is heathen America. America does not serve God. America serves the God of this world, the devil. He is called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. If you remember, the Lord Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. That's in John 12 and verse 31. As the God of this world, Satan has set up principalities and powers. We learn this from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6. And Paul said that the devil has set up principalities and powers. In other words, he has demonic ambassadors, so to speak, viceroys, so to speak, generals over the nations of the earth and keeps them blinded from the truth. He keeps them blinded from the truth. And so God appointed Michael to be his guardian over his people, Israel. The archangel Michael protects the nation, protects the people of God. There are some videos that have been produced by Israelis, and by Christian people, Christian Jews, Messianic Jews, I think is who did it, but I may be wrong on that. But anyway, these videos, and if you haven't seen them, I think you can see them on YouTube. For life of me, I can't think of the name of them right now, but there's a couple of them. And they talk about how since 1948, from 1948 till just recently, the various instances where it looked like the Jews were going to be stopped, that they were going to be overtaken, they were going to be defeated by the Arabs during the Six-Day War, during the all the different wars that they have fought. And there are all these stories where they interview the soldiers, and the soldiers will just say that, you know, give you, for instance, one that comes to mind. There were two soldiers guarding an outpost, two. And all they had were just little pop guns, basically. They didn't even have a full uniform. They just basically had little deer rifles that they were using to fight with. And this group of Jordanian soldiers, all equipped to the hilt, and many of them spotted their location. And they were trying to figure out, you know, how many were there, how many Jews were defending this outpost, and so they watched them for hours, and then they figured out, well, there's only two of them down there, and they don't even look like soldiers. They don't have matching uniforms on. They don't have real weapons. You know, they don't have helmets. They're just wearing ball caps. You know, there's a whole platoon of us. Let's go get them. And so in the middle of the night, while these Jewish boys were sleeping, here they come running over the hill. And then all of a sudden they stop and they just freeze, throw their guns down, and they go running as fast as they can run back over the hill, and just kept running all the way back to Jordan. And they interviewed the boys, and they said, "Why were you sleeping?" They said, "Well, we stayed awake as long as we could. We could not stay awake any longer." And they were up on the hill, and they were watching, and here they come. They knew that we had fallen asleep. And, why did they run? Did you stand up to fight against them? And they said, no, we heard them coming. We heard them yelling, and we looked up, and then all of a sudden they get looks of fright, and they drop their weapons and they run. And they said, "Well, why did they run?" And said, "Well, we don't want to tell you." "What do you mean you don't want to? Well, you don't think we're crazy?" And he said, "Well, what did you see? We're going to put you through the interrogation. You might as well tell us now and get it over with. What did you see?" And they testified, folks, and this is not just once. This is dozens and dozens of times from 1948 until now. "What did you see?" What they saw was an angel with a flaming sword in his hand. What they saw scared the daylights out of them, and they dropped their weapons and they ran for fear of their lives. You say, "Well, I don't know if I believe that." That's your choice. But what I'm telling you is that God said that Michael is the great prince that standeth for the children of Israel. That's what the Bible says. Michael standeth for the children of thy people. So God appointed Michael to be the field marshal of the armies of heaven for Israel. And in the realm of the spirit, Michael is Israel's representative and protector against the devil and his forces. Now, folks, I don't know if you've been watching on the news what's going on, but I am telling you, it is raging over in the Middle East right now. And the key players, according to the scriptures, according to Revelation 6, and according to Ezekiel 38, the key players are running the argument right now. We're talking about Iran. We're talking about Turkey. I mean, it is, let me put it to you this way. Donald Trump is president of the United States by divine appointment. Because there is that, I'm telling you, Trump got on the phone and said, "You better leave him alone." Yeah, you better leave him alone. And that's the only thing that has kept World War III from breaking out. Now, how long can he hold him back? I don't know. But I can tell you this, he stood up to Vladimir Putin this last week. I mean, stood right in his face and told him the way it was going to be. And he's standing up to North Korea, and he's telling North Korea the way it's going to be. I don't know about you. Of course, you're not going to hear any of this on the news because they don't want to give him credit for anything. For anything. All right? All you're going to hear is Stormy Daniels this and Stormy Daniels that. That's all you're going to hear on the news. I mean, even on Fox. That's all you're going to hear. But I'm telling you, the key players are lining up. And it's getting interesting what's going on. But mark it down. Michael is protecting the children of Israel. You see, the devil hates Israel. And down through the ages, the devil has done everything he can, everything in his power to eradicate Israel, to corrupt it, to persecute it. And this is evidenced from the anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jews around the world. Where'd that come from? Stirred up by the devil. That's where it came from. It's motivated by the devil. This anti-Semitism has, from time to time, become epidemic and has resulted in millions of Jews being slaughtered through the decades. And so Daniel is now told that Michael, the archangel, will be Israel's guardian during the tribulation period. Now don't forget, Daniel has seen in vision, he has seen all of this war. He has seen death. He has seen destruction. And there was Israel, his people, right in the middle of all of that death and war and destruction. And I'm sure that it must have crossed his mind. Will my people survive this end of times Holocaust that the Antichrist will bring upon them? And this chapter, this 12th chapter, is to show Daniel that God will have his archangel, Michael, there to protect them. That's the point. Now, there are many scriptures that tell us that this is going to be a time of terror. This tribulation period, this 7 years from the rapture to the return, this 7 years is going to be a time of terror, just a time of great terror. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21, "For then," speaking of the tribulation, "for then shall be great tribulation such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." In other words, folks, think of the worst of times in this world, all right? Let's think about all the death and destruction in World War II. Let's think about all the death and destruction in World War I. Let's think about all the death and destruction by Chairman Mao and Vlad the Impaler and all the rest of them through history. Think about all of the brutality that our world has seen. Jesus said, "The world has never seen anything like it's going to be during the tribulation period." Think of that. Think of that. Man, there have been some dark days that this old world has seen. There have been some dark days that the Jews have seen. But our Lord's point is the tribulation is going to be unlike anything the world has ever seen. Now, essentially, the Great Tribulation is Jewish in focus. If you'll remember, when the Lord Jesus came the first time, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And to this day, their eyes, according to Romans 10, 11, 9, 10, and 11, the eyes of the Jews have been blinded to the gospel. But don't forget the first Jew, Abraham. And God made a promise to Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through his seed. And God said, "I will make of thee a great nation." So, the Christ rejection of the Jews must be broken so they will believe when Christ comes back to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And so at the midpoint of the tribulation, when Satan's wrath knows no bounds, he will do all he can to exterminate the Jews so that Christ has none of Abraham's seed to come back to. At the midpoint of the tribulation, when the Antichrist's benevolent mask is torn away, he will stand revealed at last for what he is, the sworn enemy of both God and man, and especially of the nation of Israel. And it is at that time when Michael will step up and provide protection for God's people. You remember the Bible talks about how they will go to Petra, into the mountains of Edom, and how they will be protected there. Well, God is going to protect them, and Michael is going to be the protector. All right? Now, got to hurry. That took much longer than I anticipated it today. Second thing in this chapter is the promise of the resurrection. I like this second verse. Look at it. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now, what do we have here? Well, what we have in this second verse is a wonderful, wonderful truth that is not commonly found in the Old Testament. Now, it's found in the Old Testament. Don't get me wrong. The resurrection is found in the Old Testament, but it's not commonly found in the Old Testament. The resurrection is commonly found in the New Testament, but it's not commonly found in the Old Testament. It is found in the Old Testament. Now, don't go out of here and say, "Well, Pastor said the resurrection is not in the Old Testament." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You're putting words in his mouth. He said it was not commonly found in the Old Testament, but it is in the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Job 19 and verse 26, Job said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now, let me just stop right here and say that if that was the only verse, and it's not, but if that was the only verse in the Old Testament about the resurrection, that'd be enough for me. All right? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Job said, and by the way, Job lived right after the flood before Abraham. Job is the oldest book in your Bible. Did you know that? I mean, it is ancient. ancient. And so Job, right after the flood, said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." All right? The Old Testament saints believed in the resurrection of the body. In other words, a bodily resurrection from the dead. And they believed in the afterlife. But, listen carefully now, it was not until the Lord Jesus came and, as Paul said, brought life and immortality to life. You see that? It was not until the Lord Jesus came and brought life and immortality to life that it became perfectly clear what God's intent, what was God's intent in the resurrection. And so here is one of those rare statements in which everyone will have a share. So generally speaking, everyone will be resurrected. But thanks to the New Testament clarification, we know that the resurrection from the dead impacts saved people differently than it impacts unsaved people. Right? Oh, yeah. Now, if you're not saved, you're not going to be looking forward to the resurrection, because that just transfers you from one place of punishment to a more severe place of punishment forever. Without any, I mean, can you imagine hearing that key lock? Never for that door to be opened again. Can you imagine that? Oh my, you better make your calling and election sure, hadn't you? You see, there is a resurrection from the dead in which everyone will have a share. So generally speaking, everyone will be resurrected. But thanks to the New Testament and its clarification, we know that the resurrection from the dead impacts saved people differently than unsaved people. The saved, look at verse 2. The saved will be raised to enjoy everlasting life. But the unsaved will be raised to endure everlasting contempt. Take your Bible, hold your place here. Go over to the New Testament for a minute, to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. And let's look at what the Lord Jesus said about the judgment. Look at John, chapter 5. And look, please, at verse 28. Verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, folks, doesn't get any more clear than that, does it? You're either saved or you're lost. And if you're lost, then the resurrection for you is going to be one of damnation, where you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Hold your place back in Daniel and go over to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts 24. The book of Acts, chapter 24. And verse 15. Here is Paul preaching, and he says in verse 15, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So Daniel is given assurance. He is given assurance back in Daniel 12. He is given assurance by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, who is the author of this book. Daniel is given assurance that even though the future is bleak for the Jews, he could look down through the years and see death and war and mayhem and destruction and bloodshed and sorrow and agony. He could see it all. But he is given assurance that even though the future is bleak, there is the promise of a resurrection to those that believe in Christ, and they will enjoy eternal life. It's just that simple, folks. I don't know why people try to complicate this and make it so difficult. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. You're either saved or you're not saved. Now, there's one more word of comfort that was given in verse 3. Look at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn, many to righteousness as the stars forever, forever and ever. All right. Now, do you remember? Let's see. Look at chapter 11, verse 33. Chapter 11, verse 33. It says, "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many." They that understand among the people shall instruct many. Look at verse 35. "And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed." Now, Daniel was told of people who would be men of understanding. Men of understanding. They would be called, you see this word in the Psalms. You see this word in the Psalms at the top of a psalm. The word is Meshillim, M-A-S-C-H-I-L-I-M, Meshillim. And that means wise men, men of understanding, wise men. Now, during the tribulation period, in the book of the Revelation, in chapter 7, we are told that there will be a multitude, as a matter of fact, 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will go around the world and preach the gospel to the nations. These fervent Hebrew preachers will turn many to faith in Christ, and their reward will be great. Sun and stars are often used symbolically in the scripture to depict high position and great power. And here, Daniel says in the third verse, "And they shall be, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And so all through the scriptures, the idea of stars and the sun is to symbolize, to picture high positions and great powers. And these witnesses will be latter-day Meshillim, the wise ones, ones who know the truth. And John saw them in Revelation 7 and saw them sealed by God. And he will scatter them across the earth to preach the gospel, to give men the opportunity to repent and trust Jesus as their Savior before it's too late. Now, we believe, because of 2 Thessalonians 2, that only those who have never heard the gospel and rejected it will be able to be saved during the tribulation period. But folks, listen, that is a huge number. Now you think about that. You think about all the people in China who have never heard the gospel. You think about all the people in India who have never heard the gospel. You think about all the people in America because of liberalism, who have never heard the gospel. Think about that. I'm telling you, these 144,000, they're going to have an audience. They're going to have an audience, and there's going to be a multitude of people saved. All right? Then one more thing. Let's see. Yep, one more thing. We go now to the time frame in verse 4 through verse 7. The time frame. Let's look at it real quick. Daniel has always been concerned about the length of time involved in all these visions. In verse 5 through verse 7, he seems to be concerned primarily with the question of how long? How long? How long is all this going to happen? How long is before it all happens? And the first thing we notice here is that God told Daniel, seal up the book. Now, if you remember from Revelation, John was told not to seal up his vision because the time of their fulfillment was at hand. Daniel's prophecy, especially concerning the end times, dealt with events so distant in the future that their meaning would be obscure, difficult to discern, and hard to understand how they could possibly be fulfilled. I mean, think about it, folks. When Daniel was prophesying, Jesus had not even come yet. You understand that? I mean, Jesus had not even come yet. When Daniel was prophesying, there were no four gospels. There was no book of the Revelation. There was no epistles where Paul explained everything. None of that was here yet. So Daniel was told by God, after he saw the visions and wrote them down, God told him, seal up the book until the time of the end. The idea was not to conceal the book. See the difference? The idea was not to conceal the book's contents, but to preserve the book's contents until the time came for the fulfillment. And the attacks that unbelieving, destructive theologians have made upon the book of Daniel and the prophecies of Daniel show the need for this special protection of the book's contents. Now remember, folks, that most of Daniel's visions saw the rise of kingdoms yet to come. And the thing of it is, we can today, on this side of the cross, on this side of history, we can look back and through chronicled history, and we can see that Daniel's visions happened and came true exactly as he saw them from God. Exactly. And then, how do we know we're at the end time? Well, there's another reason. Look at verse 4. He said, in the last days, in the end of times, two things will be seen. First, many shall run to and fro. And second, knowledge will be increased. Now, folks, think about this. Up until the last century, this verse 4 did not have literal fulfillment. Now, you think about that. Now, let's go back. 586 B.C., all right, so 600 B.C., you with me? 500 B.C., 400 B.C., 300 B.C., you got old yet? 200 B.C., 100 B.C., oh, here's Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Picture after picture fulfilled. Oh, wait a minute. Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Reveals it all to the disciples. They scatter around the world preaching the gospel. God calls Paul. Paul pens the epistles. Oh, now it's all starting to make sense. Oh, yeah, we're starting to see why there was the law and how Christ fulfilled the law. It's all starting to happen. And so then 100 and all the disciples died off. But thank God there were some men that were led to the Lord by the apostles, and they kept it going. And then they kept it going. These guys were called the apostolic fathers. And then there was the church fathers that were the next generation. And boy, some of them were my men of great power with God. And they held the thing together. And then it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then the 1900s hit. And all of a sudden you could get on a ship and you could go all the way to Europe. All you had to do was just pay a little fee. It took you 2 weeks to get there. Wow. And then all of a sudden in the mid-1900s, you could get on an airplane and you could fly from New York to London. Oh, it took you 8, 10, 12 hours, but you could do it. Now you can do it, and it takes 4 hours. New York to London, 4 hours. Go up over Iceland, and boom, down, right there you go. And you can't even go sleep before you land. Amazing, isn't it? And now you can get on an airplane, and you can fly anywhere you want to go. You say, I want to go to Florida. Let's go. Get on an airplane, we go to Florida. Well, I want to go to California, Southern California. Got nice golf courses out there. Let's go out to Southern California. So we fly out to Southern California, meant to and fro. But not only that, knowledge shall increase. Folks, certainly we are seeing man's knowledge of his world, of himself, and of science, and of technology. Oh, my. You know, I'm going to preach a sermon. I'm going to preach a sermon soon, and I'm going to tell an illustration where the first trip that I took when I came here, and I had a cell phone, and I went to India, and I thought, okay, let me see, and I opened that cell phone up, and it said that it was a certain time in India. And so I calculated back and I said, okay, well, Karen will be awake. So I dialed 001 and then 410-848-1750 and hit it and put it up to my ear. Nothing. I mean, nope. We're sorry. The number you're trying, none of that. It was nothing. You know why there was nothing? Because India didn't even have cell phone service at that time. I had a cell phone, but there was no cell phone service in India. And so that cell phone, all I had in my hand was an expensive piece of metal. That's all I had in my hand. But you know what? Now I have one of these, I don't have it, it's in my office. I have one of those iPhones, you know? iPhone, it's got a built-in international chip in it. And no matter where I am in the world, no matter where I am, it hooks up automatically to the network, and I can dial 001, that's America's code, and then 410-848-1750, and rings right in my living room. That's technology, folks. You listen. Take your cell phone. Don't do it right now. Send a text. Hit that send button, and boom, like that. It's where you sent it. Boom. That text is there. Boom. My daughter, Lauren, you send her a text, and before you can set the phone down, the answer is back. How do you do that? How do you do that? She must just be sitting there with it in her hand. I don't know. But it's absolutely unreal. Real knowledge shall increase. Folks, but most importantly, I think that verse 4 is a direct reference to biblical knowledge that would increase. And we have seen in the last 60, 70 years, something happened that has literally opened our understanding to Daniel and to the book of the Revelation. And that thing that we have witnessed and that thing that we have seen is that Israel, for the first time in 2,500 years, Israel became a nation once again. Knowledge would increase. And boy, when Israel became a nation in 1948, it was just like God reached down and went, twink, and turned the light on for everybody to see. Wow, we are living in the end times. We are living in the end times. Folks, we're certainly here. We are able to see a world, to see the world through the lens of the Word of God. And listen, listen, it's always been this way. It's always been this way. The Mashalim, the wise men, the wise people, are able to see the Word of God and know that the time is near. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.